This is interactive fiction.
There's not a lot of room. The fourth wall, it's wide open.
Come into our blanket fort and enunciate.
It's hot, it's sticky, you gotta use good diction.
There is spit everywhere.
Every single goddamn day I listen to this nerd talk to me about fucking tropes. I don't even like media.
I want to be the Eldritch Abomination's special little boy.
Pull the hats of the people who talk all goofy.
They don't want me to indulge in japery.
Diggs wants Gatsby and Tom to bone.
Hand in a lovable hand, we will get hit by this train to fucking gather.
Good evening to only those who know that, over time, conversation hearts that aren't the brand name will get softer rather than harder.
Welcome to Genre Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture. Man, I didn't have a descriptor. Perky. No. Scandalous. No. Perky and fucking ready for...
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swearing podcast. We both have degrees. You're just gonna have to trust us on this. His name is Diggs Brown.
And her name is Annalie Tominelli. And this... is Genre Blind. Just a programming note, we're not here to hate on tropes, we're here to make you love them.
Hey, I couldn't help but be a little bit offended, a little bit hurt, a little bit betrayed by last episode, and I'm still mad about it.
So we're gonna continue the conversation in this one, I think is the goal.
Yeah.
Really dig deep into what about capitalists and top hats gets you so hot and bothered.
No, listen, here's the issue that I
listeners,
had.
Listeners, dear listeners, every week,
I don't...
Annalie edits the podcast and edits out all the weird shit.
But she said
and gives me the villain edit.
And last week, by the mercy of God, she left just a snippet of it in there.
But here's the issue. You took a coward's exit because I was just getting into the bit where I was like, hey, Diggs, you know how you're assuming that top hats are my thing
mm-hmm.
when you are also very much into people with a lot of wealth?
But that's not about the hat.
Power?
It's not about the hat for me. It's about the Faustian contract.
It's you wanting to be the in-home artist for
yeah.
a wealthy patron
yeah.
of the arts. Living in silks, but also writing for the masses. I just want to set the record straight and say, I am not alone in this. You're the one who listens to goddamn fine print on loop.
That's because I work at a corporate job.
I also worked at a corporate job.
I know you did.
It's a common
one,
thing.
One of the most popular romance novel genres is like the billionaire genre. Like,
yeah, really?
This is a real... that's why I was asked to write in that genre.
Because... we've got a lot of capitalism anxiety.
All of them also deal with, like, the violence of, like, a capitalist system and how he's, like, sweet only on the, like, reader insert character.
Yep, yeah. I just wanted to come on here and set the record straight. If you are trying to hide behind this charade that your hands are clean of all of this.
Right, so Annalie has a big fetish for
top hats. Hey, Diggs, what's the first trope?
The first trope is actually Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge.
Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge?
Which is pretty much exactly what it says on the tin. It's a subtrope of, this is directly from TV Tropes, subtrope of knowledge broker or collector of the strange. Basically, it's a being, a person, an organization, sometimes an eldritch abomination, whatever, that possesses forbidden knowledge and can trade said knowledge or bestow said knowledge or just keep said knowledge. It's comparable with like Deal with the Devil or Tome of Eldritch Lore, but it is more specific about like the illegal knowledge.
Is that like that big owl in Avatar The Last Airbender who has
yes.
the library with all of the secrets in it?
I think so, yeah.
Just a keeper of things that others don't know.
And usually of a secret.
This is a great trope. I love it. I think that librarians and museum curators and all of those people who their character is part of the vocation of knowledge
mm-hmm.
storing.
Yes.
They're great. They're grand. They're always
they're
the
wonderful.
Most interesting.
It also comes through in like the exiled prophet is often this. Like I'm thinking like specifically Paul Atreides, but like later in Dune. It goes into that like the hysterical prophet thing too of like
yeah.
if you are the keeper of all this knowledge. Like it touches a little bit on that in like Angels in America with Pryor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the prophet trope is sexy.
Oh, do you now?
I think being burdened with knowledge is hot.
Interesting.
Wait, can I pitch you something?
Sure.
So, we've both agreed that having resources is sexy. I'm not gonna say money, but, like, resources. The ability to do things, right?
Sure. And,
like,
sure.
And knowledge is very sexy, and influence is sexy.
Sure.
Also, broadcast is sexy. Doing things that other people can see.
Sure.
I think we are walking the razor's edge between Chris McLean from Total Drama Island and John from Saw.
I never saw Total Drama Island, and I've only seen the first Saw.
Well, so, Chris, so, get it.
Sure. Game show host.
He's literally the game show host of, like, a life or death survivor type show.
Does it get worse, or is it just, like, just a show?
It, well...
You know how there's always, like, that kind of turn halfway through where it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, it's during the first episode. And, like, this only works because it's, like, a cartoon, but, like, mm-hmm. it's pitched as, like, okay, it's just, like, a summer reality show, but mm-hmm. then the conceit of it is that the entire camp is completely unregulated, and
oh.
so it's not, like, a challenge of, like, try and make a fire. It's, like, you literally are going to have to fight this shark right now.
Okay.
But yeah, Chris McLean facilitates all of it and just lets it happen.
God damn, you dial that notch up like a little bit and it's a horror movie.
No, 100%. It literally is Chris McLean, John from Jigsaw, and then you go up into like Trickster God territory.
Yeah. Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge is also a lot of Eldritch, Lovecraft, etc. So I guess Herbert West.
Oh, his little notebook.
Yeah, he's the only person who knows how to do the reanimation.
The Journal of Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. The person who knows how to do the thing, which is often Herbert West, Frankenstein, all of those people who know mm-hmm. how to do the next step of tech, but haven't told anybody yet. They are
right.
Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge. Like, at the end, Jekyll's like, burn all my notes. There's also mm-hmm. the King in Yellow.
Mm.
Something infects your mind, and that something is the burden of terrible knowledge.
One could say that's the entire bit in House of Leaves.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
For both Zampano and Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And Navidson.
And the reader.
Fuck. I forgot. We're part of the narrative.
It just goes deeper.
I think that knowledge is the only thing in the world that matters.
That's fair.
Like, if I ever find out that there is something that it's impossible for me to ever know, mm-hmm. I might just end it all. I have to at least think that there's a possibility of me knowing everything.
Well, you know, there's the whole Eldritch abominations that will melt your brain if you know them. And then you won't be able to know anything ever again.
But I will still be in the pursuit of knowledge when I encounter them.
But then you only get one. You know, you gotta choose one Eldritch abomination to perceive.
No, they need to choose me.
But then the other.
I want to be the Eldritch abomination's special little boy.
Special little lad. And then the others are closed off because your brain melts.
And won't they be so jealous of that one?
They will be very jealous of that one. They'll be like, oh no, you got the best special boy.
You got the human mind flayer.
You got the cool human, and then they'll fight over you, and isn't that just the best?
Isn't that the dream?
Keeper of forbidden knowledge, the person who keeps all of the knowledge to themselves, doesn't share with anybody.
Me at the top of the podcast saying good evening to only those who know that.
That's the thing. Those who know are keeper of the forbidden knowledge, so audience mm-hmm. is a little bit of keeper of the forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, the listeners.
Yeah. Also, the listeners are keeper of forbidden knowledge because, damn, listening to this is forbidden-ass knowledge.
Do you talk to your therapist about us? Not you, the listener.
No, I know. I'm leaving some room for them to answer.
Does your therapist know our names?
Do you listen to us on the bus? Are you listening to us on the bus right now? Are you listening to us on public transportation?
Are you sharing a headphone with a friend on a bus to school?
Are you listening to us while doing a mundane chore?
Are you listening to us while walking around a brand new college campus?
Are you listening to us while doing squats?
Are you listening to us while committing a federal crime?
Are you listening to us while committing a minor misdemeanor?
Have you done your taxes?
Do you like doing your taxes, but you don't want to admit it?
will you do my taxes?
God, will you do my taxes?
Did you know that I'm on a trajectory right now to have to file TikTok on my taxes in 2021?
This is excellent. I truly hate this gig economy because it just makes taxes so damn complicated.
Well, everything is a gift.
Right, right, right. That's the thing. I show up to my job and they say, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate you. And I say, oh no, don't even mention it. And they say, no, we'll give you some money. And I say, I insist. I can't take it. They're like, no, we insist. And I say, oh, if I must. And then it's not taxable. If that's the exchange that you have with your employer every other week, which is when I get paid, then it's a gift. It's technically a gift and you don't have to file it on taxes.
Well, it needs to be done the same way as traditional sex work is done, mm-hmm. where instead of being handed the money directly, they just set it on the dresser. And then if you happen to pick it up when you leave, they didn't pay you.
Yeah. I actually, this is in all seriousness, I do often forget to clock in and out. So again, object permanence and time and all of those focuses are rather hard to keep track of. So I'll just not clock in for days and days and days. And they'll be like, hey, Annalie, you do need to let us know when you worked or you won't get paid. And I'm like, I'm just happy to be here.
No, you do need money.
I do need money. I gotta pay that rent.
You have to pay rent. You have to pay child support.
Wait, sorry. Did you say child support?
Yeah. So who is Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge?
Who is Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge? It's you. It's also the listeners, but it's you.
Yeah, it's me.
Listen, I also like knowledge, but you love do. Knowledge.
You're healthy about it. You learn cool things that may not be applicable to what's going on, but they're interesting. I essentially tie my friends to a chair and ask if they'd like to hear about the goblin dimension.
Everybody's always like, oh man, I bet you're not interested in this. I'm sorry for info dumping. And I'm like, ha ha ha, as if this isn't making me stronger, as if I'm not soaking this up. So continue to info dump, Diggs. I'm going to your forbidden library, which you have in your skull.
I do.
So you're Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge.
I am Keeper of Forbidden Knowledge. And I work at this next trope, which is the good old British comp. So a British state school.
Ooh.
Comprehensive schools, now generally called secondary schools, were set up in the 1960s by the Wilson government, replacing the old system of grammars and secondary moderns. Okay, so basically, it's schools. It's like the uniform schools.
Uniform schools?
It's the uniform schools in Britain.
Okay, okay.
With all the like, someone is a troublemaker because their shirt's untucked. Mm. And they've got their blazer sleeves rolled up.
Right, so like a boarding school.
Yeah, but not boarding. Not always
but
boarding.
But not boarding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. So there's always like the British rascal. That's where the I'm not bothered.
I ain't even bothered. Yeah, the Catherine Tate. Am I bothered? I love that sketch.
It's great. But yeah, British people are really obsessed with propriety. Things are done just so.
So they don't want me to say, let's have a jape. They don't want me to indulge in japery.
That's... They want you to say that. They just want you to say that with a better accent.
Miss, I'm trying to have a jape back here. I'm trying to have a jape.
They sniff out your bad accent and my bad accent and every American's bad accent. That's the thing. They don't even like each other's accents. So one of us comes in and says, hello there, how are you?
Hello.
I studied your language for a few years. And they say, fuck you. We hate your voice and you're going to be in the lower income bracket, you dumb. It's why, like, some people love My Fair Lady, and then other people, they're just like, why would accents be that important? They so are. They're so snobby about them.
They're so important.
They're like, oh, are you from...
You born near the bells of St. Bow Street.
Right. So British schools, they require school uniforms, which are fun. School uniforms are fun.
They're fun if you don't have to wear them.
Yeah, right. Did you ever wear a school uniform?
I may have when I went to Catholic preschool.
Wow, I can't believe you went to Catholic preschool. That's like real trauma.
I went to Catholic preschool and I got in trouble all the time because I wouldn't share. But what they meant by wouldn't share was I would be playing with a toy and another kid would just be like, okay, it's my turn now, without any regard for like saying they wanted to have a turn. They would just demand the toy at that moment. Yeah. And I would be like, no, I am playing with it. Right? If there was like a methodology here of like, you wait your turn or you only have a certain amount of time, if you just demand it from me, I'm going to say no, but then I would get get in trouble because I wouldn't immediately relinquish toys to other kids.
Yeah, and no, that's bad parenting, and I hope that it's a relic of the past.
I also, though, did create a little bit of a monopoly because we had those, like, toy cars that, like, you could mm-hmm. power with your feet,
mm-hmm.
but everyone was very about the realism of it, so we also had, like, a little gas station there, and I would take control of the gas station and then refuse to give people gas.
Yeah, and then their fucking cars wouldn't work.
Exactly.
Ooh, sorry, you're gonna have to call our little toy tow truck. They're like, no, I've got a wife and kids at home to feed. And then you say, you give me this car. They say, you're commandeering my car? I've got a job. I pay taxes.
The teachers, the nuns, I don't actually know what they were. They were ladies in skirts. They would be like, Diggs, you have to let someone else have a turn at the gas pump. And I would be like, no, I'm doing a good job.
You'd say, no, sorry, I control the pumps. And they say, Diggs, you can't do this. I'm an adult. And you say, I can do whatever the fuck I want, and you spit on the floor.
Miss, please don't walk through the gas line. It's for cars only, innit?
It would actually be petrol.
Are you having a joke?
You having a laugh? You want petrol?
What is this? We don't service people around here. We don't have a window.
Exactly. You need to wait in the line.
I pump the gas. It's Oregon.
It's Oregon.
I came here in a wagon, fair and square.
Yeah, you don't have to pump gas if you came in a covered wagon.
No, I feed the oxen
gas.
Grass.
You feed them gas.
And we pass through mountains. And wouldn't you know it, Kieseberg tries to eat me wife. Kieseberg was German.
Yeah, who cares? He still has to go through the British-ass gas station.
I need to stop. I'm being rude now.
You're being rude to the British people.
Quote-unquote people. Who won the revolution, motherfucker?
Eat shit, Brits. Please let me into your country, please. This one is dying. I know that yours is dying, too.
Huff my fucking shorts. Take us back. Take us back,
please. Don't listen to the mean things that we say. Listen. We really do want to come back and hang out with you guys. You have so much art funding. I absolutely went to a British version of Great Gatsby. Everybody was trying to speak in an American accent, and they were only so-so at it.
I went to see Glass Menagerie. I love listening to British people do American accents.
I love it. I love it, too. We only get the good ones in the movies that are stealing our fucking jobs.
I don't want the good ones. I want
the bad ones.
The brother who was doing some fucked up Long Island business, and the mom who was doing like full tilt South Carolina Southern. I'm like, this is great.
This is so
I good. Love this.
Oh my god. When I went to like, it was one of those like walk-in like interactive parties, so we dressed up and
oh,
they went around.
Yeah.
The moment they found out we were American, they all zeroed in on us. They were just like, oh shit, we're gonna give you all of the random events so that you can test out our accents. They were all okay, but there was always like a little bit of like, Gatsby really did talk like this a little bit. And I'm like, what are you doing, Gatsby? But he did pull me off to a secret room and ask me to pick out a tie for him, so I forgive him, I guess.
That's listen. Hot. Hold on, that's sexy.
He was like, hey, listen, I got to impress Daisy. Please help me pick out a shirt and tie. And I'm like, I got you. Pick the pink and the yellow.
That's fucking hot.
Yeah, he wore whatever the fuck I wanted him to. But here's the thing. Tom came over to me and was like, hey, listen, there's this Gatsby guy. What should I do about him? And I was like, maybe have a nice conversation with him. Maybe you should just
have a cheeky heart to heart, mate. Get some solid dick from Jay Gatsby.
You want Tom to be dicked down by Gatsby?
No, solid dick.
Oh, in, some like solid the... dick, as in advice. I thought that you wanted them to set aside their differences and bone. And I'm like,
no.
Interesting.
I meant advice.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
I want Jay Gatsby to get some solid dick from Nick.
You heard it here, folks. Diggs wants Gatsby and Tom to bone in the weirdest crossover we've ever seen.
I kind of want Tom and Nick to bone.
Oh, interesting.
They're like vaguely implied to at that like apartment party.
It, like slightly a little bit of an orgy. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it edges there. I'm just thinking about it as Muppets though.
Well, yeah, I can only really think about Gatsby as Muppets from here on out.
I can't wait until that movie specific Muppet and just a man have sex with one another.
Here's the thing. I know that we completely went off the good old British comp, but have you ever considered that the Brits don't matter? It's a boarding school, you dummies. It's a goddamn boarding
it's
school.
It's not a boarding school, though.
It's a goddamn normal school, dummies. It's a goddamn uniform school.
It's a uniform school, guys.
Nothing. Hey, listen, we taught you about it, okay? Can you just move on? Can you stop asking questions? Oh my god. It's like...
Annalie,
what?
4% of our audience is in the UK. Okay.
Good. They're not welcome here. So now I've alienated the French.
They're our third biggest... Oh, wait. Actually, no. We can go right on back to making fun of them because all of our UK listeners are from England.
Yeah, eat shit.
Fuck you. If you were Welsh, we would give some allowances, but
right,
no.
Right. From England. Literally, who needs them?
Ugh.
I can't sit here and teach you about this shit all day long. I've got a life. I've got things to do. I'm about to hit the town. Let's wrap this fucking episode so that I can get back to my normal ass. Every single goddamn day, I sit here and I explain these tropes to you people. I don't know why I keep doing this shit, honestly. You know you've got Google for a reason.
Welcome to Genre Blind Podcast. We say four titles and you just have to Google them. There's no commentary.
Every single goddamn day I listen to this nerd talk to me about fucking tropes. I don't even like media.
What? What did you say?
I said I don't like... Well, at this point in the episode, Anna Lee accidentally hung up on Diggs. And you know, good riddance. Listen, can we sidebar for a moment? He wants to fuck the toy taker, right? And I wasn't gonna mention it last episode because I didn't want to embarrass him, but now it's just you and me, and, okay, so he's calling me back now. Ugh, desperate much. Anyway, we've had a lot of fun here. We've had a lot of laughs. I just want you to know in your heart that Diggs also is into top hats or outward displays of wealth, but also he's into the toy taker. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, see ya. Should we stop? Like, should we? I know that they're protecting us from the dolphins, but they do interrupt our show every single time.
Yeah, but I've checked Anchor, and it does look like we get a little bit of money from them.
They're giving us a little bit of money?
I'm not sure if they're giving us money or someone's giving them money, but it's not
wow.
just Fiona.
Oh, shit. Thanks, Fiona.
Thanks, Fiona. Thank
also,
you, hosts.
Thank you, hosts. And also, I wonder if either of them wear top hats.
You know full well that one of them does.
One of them's gotta, right?
One of them probably does.
Statistically?
The higher pitched one, right? The higher your voice, the higher your hat.
People with bass voices just have a dented in head.
No hat!
No hat. But as you get higher, it gets more top hatty. If it gets, like, into that shrill range, then it's just a pointy hat. That's why witches exist.
That's why wizards.
Yeah, exactly. That's why wizards talk like this, and witches talk like this!
It's all about hats. That's why cowboy hats, the Stetsons have the dip in the top of them, because their voice is normally like this, but then every once in a while it gets down here, darling, and then pops right back up again.
Yeah, it's the twang. It's the twang.
It's the twang.
Bowler hats are for people who talk all goofy.
Bucket hats are for people who can confidently sing the creature's part in Frankenstein, a new musical.
Oh, shit.
Or Herschel Baumgartner in King Falls A.M.
Oh, shit. Low voices, question mark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Newsies caps it when your voice is going straight forward.
It's going forward like you...
Like you've got a lot to say, but you gotta say it quick because you've got the news to keep up with.
It's New York.
It's New York.
Concrete jungle. My dreams are made of.
Anyway.
That's how I feel about hats as well.
Yeah, so who's this old-fashioned, good old British comp?
You went to school in England longer than me.
That's fair. I did study with those British bastards for a little bit long.
I've taught, or not taught, but been a camp counselor at many summer camp that were framed as British schools where you had to wear a uniform.
That's true. So here's the thing. We also both went to school, and this trope is just, hey everybody, this trope is just school, but British school, so objectively worse school. So you know what? It's you who is in school. Listener?
It's the 4% of our listeners who are in England right now.
Yeah, 4% of listeners in England, this one's for you.
And the 15% of our listeners that are under 18 and are currently probably in high school.
Yeah, this is also for you.
This is you. Wow, this is a very at the listeners episode.
Yeah, good.
Get them.
We're coming for you. You think you're safe? You think you're safe hiding behind that microphone?
You think each week it's gonna be which of us and it's not which one of us?
Yeah.
You're involved.
You're involved.
Step through the fourth wall. Get in here.
Yeah, get on.
This is interactive fiction.
Listen, there's not a lot of room. It does smell a little bit like cheesesteak. But listen, the fourth wall, it's wide open.
Come into our blanket fort and enunciate.
It's hot, it's sticky, you gotta use good diction. But welcome to our blanket fort.
There is spit everywhere.
Yeah, there's spit everywhere. Diggs runs the gas station. Sometimes he doesn't let you have any.
No, and that's why we have gas shortages.
That's why we have gas shortages.
Because people take the gas pump away from me and they give gas away all willy-nilly and not based on how nice to me you are.
Usually it's a niceness-based economy. We're having a lot of civil conflict recently, which means you're entering into a war-torn area.
For example, sometimes Annalie texts me things that make me cry myself to sleep, so I don't give her gas.
I've learned how to pick locks recently. I'm trying to get in there.
Well, that's terrifying.
I did recently text Diggs, by the way, the series of texts that
you said some nonsense to me. Do you want me to read it?
I meant to say.
Annalie said, and I quote, in all caps, "Your cheeks are on a slap, fool. I'ma curb stomp your reputation so hard you'll have to go into accounting. Your ham is sand, DeGangi. I'll thwap your sugar bowl so fast it'll make you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll dent your corn cob, Slim. Don't play marbles with me." Those are the things Annalie said to me, and what I said to Annalie was, and I quote, "Annalie, you are such a good friend, and I'm glad you share your wisdom with me every week when we do our show. I love the time that we spend together, and I look up to you as a mentor."
That's bullshit. That's slander. That's calumny. Oh my god.
That's what I said.
That is so not true. Diggs commits just like a constant undercurrent of crimes. You think he's sitting here just taking this abuse? No.
I've never said anything mean to you over text.
You are just
Earlier, I said, "The insight you give me onto the world of science education is something I will never be able to thank you enough for." You
are I would love to see you repeat verbatim these things, because this text was not real. All of the first texts were real. All of the second texts,
no,
not
these
real.
Texts are real.
Diggs is a constant villain to me, an antagonist in my life.
No, I only say nice things.
Not true. Now you're giving me the villain arc. I started out so supportive, right?
I say lovely things such as, "Yes, hang on tight, BB. Which break is the ad? Perf.
No.
She's up. Let her load.
No.
Going through the Coraline door so I can hang out with a version of Annalie who doesn't listen to 100 Gex.
My God. Diggs knows he's a criminal. I can't read the text.
I've never commit a crime.
Oh my God.
Fine, read a text from me. I dare you.
Maybe I should re-examine my verbal abuse. Oh man, see, it's one of those
I was just trying to talk about Perry the Platypus and his cool hat.
If I say that you knocked four times, does that count as anything?
Oh, I did do that.
Yeah, but again, out of context, I don't think it would hold up in a court of law.
No, just saying I sent you an audio message of me knocking four times.
Yeah, see that.
What does that mean?
What does that mean to anybody who doesn't watch Doctor Who? Yeah, you chase me singing "How Bad Can I Be" from the Lorax film. And
the hit movie The Lorax.
And while some people would take that as just a jipe.
Japery.
You know it's an act of violence. You know it's an act of violence! I'm not crazy!
I will say, to quote Jenna Marbles, one of the things I did text Annalie today was, "Corn on the cob, but instead of the corn bone, it's a hot dog."
Wow.
I did say
See,
that.
And these are the things, like, listen, I gotta outwardly send the threats, because it's the only way that I can maybe keep away this encroaching tide of psychological warfare that Diggs wages upon me every single goddamn day of my life.
I've never done anything to you.
Anyway, what's the next trope, villain?
So the last trope is going to be closed door rapport.
Closed door rapport.
So this is basically when one party shuts the door in an attempt to avoid confrontation while the other tries to communicate with them through the door. And this can be used for comedy, for drama purposes, for tragic purposes. So it can go from the...
"Do you want to build a snowman?"
Yeah. yeah. to Rose Tyler slamming her hands on the side of Canary Wharf, trying to get back to 10. Yeah, those are both closed door rapport.
So this is when there is a physical blockade between the two.
Yep, that was put up by one of the characters.
Does the song from Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, the "I've decided to marry you," that one?
I would say yes.
He's going back and forth.
Although they're not exactly talking to each other through the door.
True, he's more just trying to hide his crime.
And they're talking to each, like, when he gets in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the people talking to each other on either side of the door, mm-hmm. or at least trying to talk to each other on either side.
Right, right.
I think.
My sister and I used to send, after we had a long fight, we would slip each other little notes beneath the door.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Oh, there was Heather's, right?
Open the door, please. Veronica, open the door.
Yeah. The talking, this is great because it's got that physical barrier. There is usually an emotional barrier, but we gotta bring it into the visual, literal sense.
Oh my god. In a much less tragic and kind of almost not this trope, this exists in Jeremy Fink and The Meaning of Life,
mm-hmm.
where the two little kids have a little hole in the, Jeremy Fink and The Meaning of Life by Wendy Mass. There's this boy and a girl who are best friends and they're like neighbors in their apartment building,
mm-hmm.
and they both have a poster on their wall that covers up a little hole in the wall, and they pass each other notes back and forth through it.
Aw, that's adorable.
And when the one doesn't want to talk to the other, they block up the hole so they can't put notes through.
Aw, that's so sweet.
It's really cute.
That's absolutely endearing.
Jeremy Fink and The Meaning of Life is actually a really, really heartwarming coming-of-age book.
Yeah.
It's also one of the, like, this is a random tangent, but it's one of the least judgmental books when it comes to, like, a first period.
Oh, yeah.
Basically the premise of it is Jeremy Fink gets this box from his either deceased or absentee father for his birthday that's like, when you collect all of these keys from everywhere, like, you'll open this box and find out what the meaning of life is,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he has to go all over the place to find these keys, to yard sales and across the country, just different places to find these keys.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it, it's been so long since I've read this, but him and his best friend, this little girl who lives next door, Lizzie, they do a competition where one of them, where she hula hoops and then he throws her a football and they play catch while she's doing it. And they do it in competition and like stuff like that. And they're going to competition and she gets her first period on the way there and like obviously has awful cramps because it's her first period. Everything's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Jeremy, you're gonna have to hula hoop while I throw you the football. And he does, and he has a great time, but like he's just like, he takes it in stride, like, he has a moment where he's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, just goes with it. And it's one of the least judgmental, most like, this is a fine and normal thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, this is your best friend. You can be like, bud, I got bad cramps. You're gonna have to hula hoop. And he's like, uh-oh, all right.
I love that. That's incredible. Hey, real quick PSA, comprehensive sex ed, so important.
Yeah.
I thought that my period was going to come every 3 months. It was a lie.
Hmm.
Yeah, right? The super duper
lie.
That's
not correct.
That's incorrect. Yeah, comprehensive sex ed. I had to learn it online through like educators online, but you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't do it a lot in school.
I've had to give the talk to so many people.
And here's the thing, you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to.
No, I shouldn't have had to do that.
Yeah, like it's important. It's important to know this shit.
I've had to give aspects of the talk to adults.
Yeah, right? Like, weird myths about, you know, like that
mm-hmm.
hymen.
Your first time is meant to hurt, and you're gonna bleed.
Right.
No!
Yeah, like that virginity is a bloody thing and stuff like that. It's not fucking real.
It shouldn't.
There's so much common sense shit that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah, and how, like, all of it, it's so based on just, like, chemicals in the body and, like, hormones. It's not based on, like, literally, like, I have a lot of trans women who are my friends who had to learn some menstrual information after going on estrogen. Obviously not because they're, like, you know, shedding uterine lining. Like, they don't have a uterine lining to shed. But that monthly cycle of hormones happens.
Right?
And, like, it gets bonkers up in there.
Straight
and,
up.
Like, you have to sit down with these grown-ass women and be like, yeah, I know you're 25. You're having your first period.
Yeah.
Babe, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. People are really kind of taboo about it. It's rather clinical. It's rather commonplace. If the entire population is having some version of this, maybe we shouldn't put it behind closed doors and whisper
it's so
it through
weird.
The closed door. Wop, 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 wop. Wop.
Wow. Yeah, we shouldn't have to be on... Well, you know what we can be on the other side of a door for? You can be on one side of a stall door being like, hey, does anyone have a tampon? And while everyone else in the bathroom is like, I have a pad, does that work?
Straight
That's fine.
Up, the most solidarity in the whole goddamn world is that moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toxic shock syndrome is real. Virginity is not.
Is not. The only time virginity is real is when you're talking about ritual blood magic. But that only refers to whether or not your blood has been used in ritual before. It has nothing to do with sex.
Right. Yeah. So come to Genre Blind. You get comprehensive sex ed. Hey, wash your legs if you don't do that, by the way.
Wash your fucking legs.
Wash your legs. I found out that some people don't do that.
Pro tip also, if you're someone who has leg hair, every once in a while, put some conditioner on it.
Straight up. It'll make it better. It'll make it better.
It'll make your socks not hurt.
Shampoo and conditioner works on all hair, weirdly enough.
It does.
It's all
beard hair.
Beard hair. Yeah.
Eyebrow
Take care
hair.
Of yourself. Take
yeah.
care of yourself.
Do a face mask.
Everybody should do face masks.
Thank you for listening to Genre Blind.
Yeah, thanks. For listening to Hey, real quick, sorry, who's closed door report? I guess we're constantly closed door report, but it's more me just like, I guess, shouting threats through your closed door as you do a crime on the other side.
I send you a lovely, heartfelt message, and then you slam the door in my face.
and while I wait
expectantly on the other side, you hurl insults at me through the closed door.
Hey, listen, I don't want to say that this is the ending of Jekyll and Hyde, but it is. It's 100% them being like, hey, come out. And he's like, no, don't come in here. I'm burning my stuff. I promise I'm just drinking water.
I live inside you forever.
Yeah, no.
Satan himself by my side.
Yeah, closed door rapport does happen in Jekyll and Hyde.
And I know that now and forever.
Yeah.
I feel like this also happened, this is just a side note, I feel like this also happens a lot in horror movies in, like, cars, where, like, you've got your final girl who's gotten into the front seat, and she's, like, trying to start it, and the killer's, like, at the window.
It's kind of a closed door rapport. Okay, real quick scenario. This isn't quite closed door rapport, but this is going off of that.
Hit me.
You're sitting in a parking lot alone in a car, right?
Shit. Am I in the driver's seat?
Yeah, you're in the driver's seat, but your car won't start.
Okay.
You, like, left the lights on, as sometimes does. Yeah. Your car is dead. You're in the driver's seat. It's a big open parking lot. There is somebody across the parking lot, illuminated by a street lamp, walking swiftly towards you.
Fuck.
Yeah, right? You don't know what their deal is, but you notice that they might be moving not quite right, you know?
Uh-huh.
A little bit inhuman. Do you get out of the car and run? Do you stay in the car? What do you do?
I'm staying in that fucking car. I'm locking the doors and I'm hunkering down in the back seat. I'm not playing this game.
But then they get to you.
No, they won't. They don't get me. How would they get me?
I don't know. But
the doors are locked.
There's inevitability. They're coming at you. It's like one of the scariest things.
Is my phone dead?
No, but there's gonna be a wait time between your phone.
Open parking lot. What's around it?
Think like CB West parking lot, but larger.
Okay. And it's like, it's not like a mall that's there. It's like a school or like a bowling alley or something.
It's a school, but it's at night.
So like, I can't like go there, and there's not houses.
Yeah, no. It's just like a big parking lot at night. There's a building that would be inhabited if it was day,
if it was day.
Isn't probably at night. There's a possibility there's a nighttime security guard.
Right. And this thing is moving at me from across, and it's not moving like a person.
It's like humanoid, but something's wrong.
And there's only that one street light?
There's like three street lights.
Okay. So
scary, right? The worst, right?
Yeah. I think I'm staying in until it starts seeming like it can get in the car, and then I'm getting out the other side.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what to do in this situation. I just think about it all the goddamn time.
Yeah. Every day when someone passes behind me on the subway station, I think they're gonna push me onto the tracks.
Oh no, me too. Yep.
Every time.
Yeah. I deliberately stand by a pole so that I can grab it.
I always have like my shoulder kind of inside one because I'm not playing that game.
Yep.
You're not going to get me. Also, if you do, I'm going to grab your fucking collar and you're coming down with me.
Right. Hand in a
lovable hand.
Hand
in a lovable hand. We will get hit by this train to fucking gather. I do not give a shit.
What if we're both in the train station together and then I say, bye-bye, Diggs?
Well, I will accept that.
Aw, that's sweet. Again, this is like more audio evidence of my verbal abuse.
I will take your bag, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No! Not my bag!
Yeah.
Oh, I've got my tchotchkes in there.
Yeah, and it's going to be spattered by my entrails and whatever leavings the train has.
Diggs, I'd never push you in front of a train, I promise. I like your company too much.
Aw, it's just you want to take me out in a rowboat.
I was going to say, also, I have bigger plans for you.
Yeah, you don't have a train death in mind.
No train death in mind.
Much more gruesome.
I was gonna say, that's too damn impersonal. I want to be with you.
Tell me, how would you kill me?
Oh, you know how I'd kill
with
you.
With your hands?
It would involve... it. Here.
With your hands, Will.
With your hands. You know how I'd kill you. It'd be on a rowboat.
I know how you'd kill me. You'd reenact the end of season one of Black Butler. We all... yeah.
Anyway.
You're gonna take my rings off one by one, and then thank you so much for listening to Genre Blind. Please rate and review us on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, and you can also follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram and at Annie DTR and Momentum Mortsafe on both Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at genreblindpodcast@gmail.com if you have suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, people you want us to break up with. Thank you again to our lovely sponsor, Fiona. They're doing great work helping us exist.
Yeah, thank you.
If you feel like sponsoring us, we have the link in the show notes every week. Do not feel obligated to. You are also welcome to just listen.
Vibe. Just vibe.
But you do have to tell a friend.
Yeah, that is, you are contractually obligated to tell a friend, unfortunately.
We're still in a pandemic, and we gotta spread things to each other, so tell at least three friends about it.
Impose
Thank
us
you.
Upon friends. Make us a buddy system.
Reference us in your English essay.
Yeah, oh, we'll be great. We'll have lots of very legitimate things to say.
Too. We're smart, we promise.
We pinky swear. We promise we're smart.
We got our A levels in English.
So now I want to talk about how I'd kill you. So one day, okay, I'll come to your home and I'll be like, hey Diggs, let's go for a walk.